I want you to know I've enjoyed being here with you, and I really appreciate the hospitality, the love of the saints.
Yes.
I want to share with you a message, leave a message with you, that I would really like to share a lot of places because I feel like it is very important. There was something that my mother impressed on me that she learned from her parents. And that is that it is a very serious thing to bring a child into this world, because that child has a soul that's going to spend somewhere eternally. So, as parents, we realize our children are very valuable.
Yes.
And we're not satisfied to lose any child to the world and to eternal destruction, are we?
No.
We're not satisfied. Can you imagine if they started a new high-rise building here in Miami and the foreman of the steel workers got the men together and said, "Now men, I want you to be careful. During the construction of this building, I want you to realize it's dangerous. When you're 50 stories up working on steel, it's dangerous. I want you to be so careful that in the construction of this job, we don't want more than 3 or 4 men to fall to their deaths." Can you imagine anyone saying that? They would not want anyone to be lost, would they? But yet the devil would like for us to be complacent and to say that, well, some of my children may be lost. But we don't want to be satisfied with that, do we?
No.
We don't want to accept any of our children to be lost.
Yeah.
There are some things that bring about loss that we cannot control. God has given every one of us a free will, including our children. And we cannot force them to make it to heaven.
That's right.
So there are some things that are outside of our control. There are some outside influences. We live in a wicked world, and we cannot protect them from every possible influence. But yet, there are some things that are in our control.
Yeah.
We're able to make a difference in some areas. And one of those areas is discipline for children. We need to discipline our children in order to keep from losing them.
Amen.
We need to provide a home environment that is spiritually healthy for children. We need to be examples before our children.
Yes.
If we don't want to lose our children. In order to help prevent a child from falling to destruction, we need the right mixture of love and discipline together. Some parents are very strong on discipline. They're very quick to give them a whipping and show very little love. That doesn't work well. We lose children like that, don't we? And then other parents, they feel like, "Oh, my heart is just so full of love, I just could not do anything to say no." And they lose children like that too. We need the right mix of love and discipline in the raising of our children if we would like to keep them. I'd like to give an example of a father's love in 2 Samuel chapter 18. Second Samuel 18 and 31. "Behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, 'Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee.'" Absalom had risen up against his father, David the king. And he was seeking his own father's life. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? If your child was after you to kill you. "And the king said unto Cushi, 'Is the young man Absalom safe?' And Cushi answered, 'The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is.' And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, 'O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, Would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. David had received the news that his son had been killed in battle. The same son that was out to kill David. But the love of the father was so great that he wept for his son. And he said, would God I had died for thee. I wish it would have been me instead of you. That is the kind of love that we need for our children. A dying love. A love that we are willing to lay ourselves down for our children. And I want to tell you today, rather than any one of my children losing their soul, I would rather lay down my life for my child. That is the kind of love that we must have to help retain our children.
Amen.
The Scripture says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 4. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't make them angry by your own anger. If you have anger and you are spanking that child and your voice is angry and your countenance is angry, you know they can pick that up? And you know what that does to that child? It makes them angry too. Brother Austis Wilson, I believe it was, spoke of his own father. And he said that his father, when he was spanking, if I have the correct person, was so calm, it was like he was eating ice cream. We need to have our own anger under control. Sometimes children will do things that can make anger want to rise up. We better be controlling ourselves, or we'll be provoking our children to wrath. Through discipline, we can help from losing our children. In Proverbs 23 and 14... it says, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. In verse 13 it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. I don't believe this is speaking of child abuse, of what we consider beating today, but I believe in spanking. I believe that it is important for a child to associate that kind of discomfort with disobedience. It is actually merciful to the child to realize when I disobey, it hurts. Because if they don't learn that, then they're really going to hurt for all eternity in a greater way.
Yeah.
In spanking your child, you can help deliver him from hell. Sometimes parents will try to discipline a child, and they will correct the child. Johnny, don't do that. And Johnny does that. Johnny, I said don't do that. And Johnny keeps doing that. I'm going to spank you. And Johnny keeps doing that. I promise, if you don't stop doing that, I'm going to spank you. You know what Johnny knows? Mama doesn't keep her promises. That kind of discipline helps destroy children. They need to know that when Mama says, stop doing that, it means stop.
Yes.
And continuing means punishment's coming. Discipline with empty threats is destroyed. It is important to conquer a child's spirit early in their lives. A child has a carnal nature when they are born. And if we don't try to conquer that, if we just let them go and express themselves in anger and kicking the walls and breaking things and saying, oh, just calm down a little, calm down, and we don't really bring that under control, we are bringing the destruction of our own children.
Amen.
Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. We have to know how to bring our own body under control. You know how we learn that? When we're real little and our parents help us do it. When they help control us, you do that again. You run across the street when I told you not to do it, speaking to a small child, you get a spanking. When they start to learn that, they learn to control themselves. When they realize the option is, Daddy's going to control me, or Mama. We have to help conquer the spirit of young children to save them. It is our duty as parents to teach them self-control, to help them to be meek and respectful toward authority. If we never discipline, we never correct our children, they will grow up not respecting the policeman, not respecting the judge, not respecting the minister, not respecting God. It is the duty of parents. I remember when our girls were babies, little, and you know how babies are in church service. They would be squirming and wiggling, and Lenita would hold them. She'd hold them tight. Now, I'm not saying all the time, but what she was doing was restraining them to some degree so that they learned to sit quietly in church service. Now, that's quite a contrast to sometimes we see children come to church service that don't ever go to church service hardly at all. They don't know anything about sitting still and being quiet, and they're out talking out loud and running up and down in the chapel. It is the duty of parents to teach them to sit quietly and listen. The environment that we provide for our children, there should be a family altar. There should be a place of worship. Let's get the family together now and let's have prayer. Let's read the Word of God. And children need to hear their father praying. They need to hear the sincerity of their father's heart. They need to hear their mother praying. They need to understand, and as they listen to those prayers of their parents going on throughout their lives as they're growing up, that helps establish them in a spirit of prayer themselves.
Amen.
So that they learn how to communicate with God. And it's something they can share with their children. Mm-hmm. Listen, dear ones, we love our children. We want to retain them. We don't want to lose them to the world. We don't want to be like the foreman that says, I don't want more than three or four men falling to their deaths. We don't want to lose anyone, do we? But in order to do that, we need to have a family altar. We need to have a place of prayer where the family together gets together and prays out loud. The environment of the home is so important. It is important to keep the home pure. The types of books that we allow into our homes, the types of entertainments that are allowed there, we need to watch that. We need to be careful if we want to keep our children. If we allow our children to watch movies, even if we feel like the movie is clean, do you know what that does to children? It creates an appetite for entertainment that can never be satisfied. They see one movie and they want to see the next. And then they want to see the next one. And eventually they're off into worse and worse and worse things. You know, that's exactly what the devil had in mind. It doesn't satisfy. You watch one and you want to watch the next one and the next one. And you can hear people testify about how they don't ever want to really go to sleep. They just want to stay up through the night watching movies. It's a serious thing. Do we want to save our children? Or are we going to allow the enemy of their souls to entertain them? It's gotten down into the cartoons. The cartoons, some of them have homosexual themes. This is for little children to watch. It is sad. What kind of things are we allowing to raise our children? Do we want to keep them or do we want to lose them to the world? Television does not belong in a Christian home. It is uncontrollable. It is so full of filthiness. The advertisements even. The news. All the things that are shown. And even if it wasn't for all of those things, the very attitudes that they try to instill in people. Such a serious thing. We want to keep our children, don't we?
Yeah.
Do we want these ungodly violence, nudity, drinking, cursing, hatred, murder, all these things being constantly paraded in front of our husbands, our wives, our children? Lord, help us. It's a serious thing. Libraries are no longer child safe. You realize that?
Amen.
It's sad. Witchcraft, mysticism, all these weird books, pornography in public libraries, yes. It is sad. Be careful. I'm not saying don't go to the library, but when you go, watch your children.
Yeah.
And watch the kind of materials they're getting it to.
Yeah.
Sleepovers. Be careful.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's a time when children get into trouble. They start talking about things. They start learning things. They start getting entertained with things. I'm not saying don't ever have a sleepover. What kind of person is this? Is it a saint's home? You know, there are areas where we can do things, but just be very, very careful about the types of influences you let your children get into. Children get into serious trouble and experience things that affect them the rest of their life. Because of one sleepover?
Yeah.
Or one time of being allowed to be off in somebody else's influence? Lord, help us to be wise as parents and to be very careful. We need to build a foundation for our children for successful lives. The Scripture says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Israel, my people, I want you to teach my commandments to your children, and talk of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're rising up, when you're walking by the way." It sounds like a way of life, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds like it should permeate your life. The teachings of godliness, the example. We want to save our children. We don't want our children to be lost. It needs to permeate our homes. It's more than, oh, I sent them to Sunday school so they learned about God. No, it needs to come from the home. Send them to Sunday school. No, I'm sorry, let me back up. Go with them to Sunday school. Take them to Sunday school. And make it a part of your home as well. We need to teach our children the mystery of godliness. There is so much that they need to know. We need to teach them what roles are appropriate in life for men and for women. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. You know, the school system is trying to teach something opposite of godliness and godly men, godly women. We need to counter those types of influences by our teaching at home. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. "Speaking to the older about the older women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God not be blasphemed. This needs to come from the mother to the daughter. This is how to be a godly woman. And from the father to the son, verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. While the other young men are out there acting crazy, doing wild things, young man, I want to teach you sobriety. I want to teach you how to be a godly man. Mothers need to be teaching their daughters how to be modest, an element so desperately missing in the world today. Fathers need to teach their sons about the dangers out in the world. Son, I know that you may not choose to live for God, and if you don't, that will break my heart. But if you do go out into sin, stay away from the gambling casinos. Stay away from the nightclubs. Stay away from drugs and alcohol. You'll save yourself a lot of heartache if you'll do that. Parents need to warn their children about unclean spirits. What about Harry Potter? You know what that theme is about? So popular in our world. It's about witchcraft. It is very serious. It is something very counter to godliness. We need to warn our children about these types of things. Parents need to talk to their children about homosexuality. I feel bad even mentioning that word in this setting. But if we do not talk to our children about that, you know who will? It will be the world. It will be other children in the neighborhood. It will be the schools. We need to tell them what it is from a godly perspective and how dangerous it is and other unclean spirits. We need to teach our children the seriousness of fornication and the consequences of it. We need to teach them how serious it is to get involved in a life of crime and the price that they can pay for that. We need to teach them about drugs. There are so many dangers out there that parents need to be speaking to their children. Maybe you feel like, oh, my boy's a good boy. He wouldn't do that, wouldn't he? How do you know? He needs to be taught. We want to save them. We want these safety belts and harnesses that keep, like the ones that keep the steel workers from falling. We want to offer those to our children. My son, my daughter, here is your life safety. If you'll take the law of God and bind it about your neck, it will preserve your life. You won't fall. We need parents to be nosy. Get into their children's business. Look through the drawers sometimes. Son, where have you been? What were you doing? You were with who? Well, what kind of boy is he? What kind of things does he like to talk about? Saints, we need to be nosy as parents. If a child just runs loose and no accountability to his parents, he feels more free to go out and get involved in a lot of trouble. Parents need to be aware of their children's usage of electronic devices, cell phones, internet, devices where they can watch movies, those types of things. Parents need to be aware of the possibilities of what they can do. People can get into all kinds of filthiness on cell phones. You need to be careful. Does your child really need a cell phone? And if they have a cell phone, should it be enabled to be able to get on the internet? These are the types of questions parents need to be aware of, and they need to be very careful. Children, bear with me. It's for your eternal good. That's why I'm telling your parents these things. And I hope you have this same concern for your own children someday. There are things out there that are destroying people. They get involved in addictions that they can't get loose from without the deliverance of God. And it destroys homes and it destroys people's lives. You may be glad when I'm gone, but let me tell you, it's for your own good.
Yes.
That's why I'm warning your parents. It's because we care about you and we want you to make it to heaven. We don't want to see you fall to your death. Daughter, what's the password to your email? It doesn't hurt for there to be some accountability. Now, I'm not talking about grown children, but I'm talking about as they're young and they need some parental oversight of what's going on. And there can be levels of trust that are built with children over time, but there needs to be some real carefulness. One of the obligations of parents is to set rules in the home. If you live in my home, these are the rules. Now keep in mind, at the same time, we have a dying love for them. Like the love that David had for Absalom. Oh, my son, I would lay down my life for you. If we mix that love with this kind of discipline and this kind of oversight over our children, it's going to have some positive effect. My question is, who rules the home? Do the children just decide what they're going to do? And the parents let them? The parents need to take control of the home and set the rules and require some things of children. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy 3:1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be, and it gives some qualifications for a bishop. And one of the qualifications in verse 4 is one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? This is one of the requirements for bishops, overseers in the church, that they have their home under control, that there are rules in place, and they see to it that children are complying with rules. Not that the children are just free to do anything they want to do. Well, I don't think that these qualifications should stop with bishops. I think every one of us that want to keep our children should keep our homes in control and set rules and watch what our children are doing and be careful about that. I'd like to give an insight into Abraham, Genesis chapter 18. What kind of person Abraham was. Genesis 18 and verse 17. Now the Lord God had confidence in Abraham. Listen to this. Genesis 18 and 17. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him." The Lord expressed that kind of confidence in Abraham. I know that man. He will set some rules for his home. He will guide them in godliness. He will be an example before them. Now I want to warn you about the New International Version of the Bible. The New International Version of the Bible doesn't relay this same meaning. It says, "I have chosen him so that he will direct his children," instead of, "I know him that he will command his children." See how they watered it down and took away that meaning of God expressing confidence and somebody actually being firm with the rules in their home? Be careful about these translations of the Bible that alter the meaning. There are some popular myths in the raising of children. One is that there is a magical age. Some people consider it to be 18 years old. Some consider it to be 21. But there's just some number that somehow that's just magical, that once the child reaches that number, I can't do anything anymore. That's a myth. Let me tell you when our obligation to our children ends. When you breathe your last, you have, that's the end of your obligation to your children. Between now and then, you have an obligation to your children. You can't just wash your hands of them and say, oh, they're 18. They're on their own now. Another myth is all we can do is pray. All we can do is pray. Well, if you have a child in your home who is wayward, who is out of control, there's more that you can do than pray. Imagine if there was a dog with rabies out loose in the neighborhood. What would you do? Would you say, all I can do is pray? And meanwhile, you have little children out playing in the street. Would you say, all I can do is pray? Or would you say, I think I'm going to call the animal control officer, and meanwhile, you children stay in the house? Or perhaps put a fence up for the yard? Or, if you live out in the country, get a gun and shoot the dog. There is something more that we can do than pray when it comes to the raising of children. In fact, we have an obligation to do more than that. We must set rules for the home.
Yes.
That's one of our obligations.
Amen.
And if they live there, they must comply with some rules.
Right.
We must ask some questions. We must get into their lives and make them accountable for the way that they're living. And I believe in spanking while they're young, that we spank. Spanking has fallen out of popularity. There was a man named Dr. Spock. Dr. Spock advocated the theory opposing spanking. And his book became so popular that it was second in sales only to the Bible. It swept people. It was translated into many languages, went around the world, and for a long time now, our world, many people have accepted his teaching. Now, here's his teaching, Dr. Spock. There are several reasons to avoid physical punishment. He's speaking of spanking. It teaches children that the larger, stronger person has the power to get his way, whether or not he is in the right. What a concept, teaching the child that the parent has the power to get his way. I thought we did want them to believe the parent has the power to get their way. They need to understand there are authorities higher than you, child. There are police officers. There are people who are the law of the land. There are parents. There are school teachers. There are people that have authority over you, whether you want to accept it or not. You know, a child needs to know that.
Yes.
And it's like he was appalled that they would actually get that concept, that there are larger, stronger people that have the power to get their way, whether they're right or not. Whether they're right or not, you mean the child needs to question the parent? I'm not sure you're justified in disciplining me. Lord help.
Yes.
A child should not be questioning the parent's authority. Well, I want to ask you, of all these generations of children that have been raised under Dr. Spock's theory that spanking is bad, how has it turned out? How are the young people these days out in the world compared to the way they were 50 years ago? Wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
13-year-old girl was beat up in school by another girl as a part of what they call the 30-second game. And the game was, for 30 seconds, you beat on her and we get around and we encourage you on and we video. And this girl was getting her face hit. That's the kind of world we live in today. And I want to ask you, did it work to abandon physical punishment? I think it's been a big disaster. I think we need to go back to more proven methods. In fact, I think we ought to go back to the Bible way as a society. They like to refer to spanking as violence, and they speak of raising children without violence. If we want to raise our children without violence, you know the very first thing people ought to do? Get the television out of the home. Want to get the violence out? There you go. And then start spanking the children when they're bad. A spanking should not be considered violence. Now, people can abuse their children and whip them unmercifully and use the wrong things for spankings. I'm not advocating that at all. I do not believe in child abuse. I believe we need to love our children very deeply.
Amen.
Well, sometimes we do lose children into the world. So what do we do to recover them? One thing is daily prayer. And I'm not speaking of just quickly mentioning their name, but a sincere appeal from the heart to God, Lord, will you save my son? Daily. Just this groaning of the heart, groanings that cannot be uttered. Oh my God, will you have mercy? Will you save them at any cost? That is one thing that we can do to recover loss. Another thing is fasting. Brother Bob Salee had a daughter that was unsaved. And she was, I think, in her teenage years, and he was very deeply concerned. Brother Bob Salee fasted for 12 days. Let me tell you something. She got saved, and she's saved today. He's gone on to his reward. That is the love of the Father. That is the type of love that David had for Absalom. I'm going to lay something aside. My life is too busy. I'm going to spend more time with this child. That's the love of the Father. We need mothers with the same love. Whatever it takes to recover that child. Expressions of love. Children need to know they're loved. And we need to be careful, though, and use wisdom with unsaved children. We can drive them away by saying the wrong things. But as the Lord leads and puts the right words in your mouth, oh, the healing it can bring. And let me give you just one example. I remember the day you were born. And oh, the joy it brought in our lives. Oh, the happiness. We were so proud of you. We loved you so much. I remember that. And we've enjoyed watching you grow up. And I want you to know we still love you very much. You know, that can do a lot to help recover a wayward child from loss. To feel the love of a parent. Letting them know, no matter what you go through in life, I'm going to be here for you.
Yes, amen.
You may get in trouble. I want you to know that Dad is still there.
Mm-hmm.
You just pick up the phone. I'll drive across the country. I'll fast for you. I'll be there for you. We can recover some of these losses. In order to help recover lost children, sometimes it requires doing something very drastic. Perhaps it is moving to another place. Maybe it's the girl next door that is the temptation to the son. But Lord, I'm willing to sell the house. Whatever it takes should be our attitude. Maybe it is pulling them out of public school and homeschooling. If the influence is coming from public school, maybe that's what it takes. Lord, whatever it takes, I don't want my children to be lost. Anything, Lord. That should be our attitude. But I want to encourage you today, if you do have children that are away from the Lord, while there is life, there is hope.
Amen.
I know of someone whose mother is a dear saint. She is one of the sweetest people I know. She prayed for her wayward son for decades. And I think he got saved in his 50s. And he's saved today.
Thank the Lord.
While there is life, there is hope. Parents, be encouraged.
Yes.
Those children, those grandchildren. But meanwhile, let's remember there are some things we can do to provide the right foundation, to let them know we love them.
Yes.
And in those formative years, while they're young, while they're so impressionable, let's be very careful that we are giving them the right mix of discipline and love. May the Lord bless you. Amen.